That fascinated you far more than I would have guessed.
That really tickled me, yeah. I don't know what goes into creating a fan page, operating a fan page. You interact with your fans on said page.
I have not. I'm telling you.
Is there a lot of photos of you?
There are some. Well, it's all show type photos.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Interesting. He's been doing this on the sly, though.
You can check it out at Dale Keefe, WEEI.
Thank you very much, Rossi.
In a couple minutes. Hold on.
Oh, Lucy, forgot. We asked you to do
you
one thing.
You don't have
thing.
To even say that. We asked by you the to time do this one thing.
Yeah, we're on a delay anyway. You have plenty of time to get it out there.
I'm dumping it.
We said this 10 minutes ago. If you're listening now, we said it 10 minutes ago.
I've failed so miserably at this thing. I mean, I haven't touched it in a long time.
You can't half-ass a fan page.
And I have half-assed it.
You have to whole-ass a fan page. Yeah, you have to. You got
to
get in there. You got
to
have constant updates. What am I doing? What am I eating right now? People want to know. Yes. People want to know what's going on.
Egg salad with avocado mayo.
Do all of you? Sure. Take a picture of it. Put it up on the old fan page.
It looks kind of ugly.
Do your tweets automatically go up there, too?
No. I don't even do that.
Are you on Instagram?
Yes,
you should. Those should all go.
I
should all
do
go
that
there.
Either. So, you've
really let everybody down here.
See, and Lucy thought she was trying to help Mutt with his social media.
Yeah,
presence.
Lucy, you got to help this guy.
Lucy
over here.
Should have been saving me.
How many people at WEEI you think have their own fan page?
I know. Three.
Glenn Moss.
I'm going to put 3.5. What do you think? Over under?
Going under. I think it'd be Glenn. Maybe Fourier.
No, Fourier with a strong social media presence?
No, maybe not.
I bet Mutt. No, I know Dale.
Mutt would. Yeah,
Glenn.
Mutt would. Yeah. That's it.
That might be. I think that might be the under.
Jason Ross.
Glenn does not have one.
Is that right? It's too bad.
Asked it.
You have to whole ass a fan page. You do.
Well, you do, and I haven't. And I failed.
It's all right.
It is a deep source of shame for me.
I think.
Can I tell you?
I think maybe for 2019, that's what you do. That's
a resolution.
Yes, we're going to do show resolutions because people always stay true to those.
Oh, those are almost as big as the Turkey Gobble show.
We're gonna do resolutions.
Resolution show.
No, we're not doing a show about it. I'm saying within the show, we all have something. Rossi's going to be more positive in 2019 because he's taking a real trip to negative town. Lucy's going to try to help our show and not the morning show. That's going to be a thing for her to do.
Lucy's very busy.
I should get Mutt a celebrity Facebook page now.
You probably should.
I guess going against what Keith just said.
Again.
Yeah, well, never mind.
But it's still 2018.
Yeah. Dale's going to work on his fan page.
And Keith?
I'm just going to try to be consistent. You know, just try to keep doing
what I'm doing. Have a sit and a nod and a good game of Red Dead Redemption.
Red Dead Redemption 2. That's the name of the game. What do you
and that's it.
And is there something you would like me to improve on?
Yeah, don't kill your horse.
No, I know. I'm trying every day. I'm trying every day not to do that.
Although there are those who said if you had any thought to this at all, you would shoot this horse dead.
I don't
and
like killing
you'd
animals.
Get better, you'd get a better horse. Can I point out to you it's not real?
I could get a worse horse. I could get a worse horse.
Based on your description, no, that's not possible.
It's definitely unlikely. But we'll see. We'll try to figure that out. Why, Ross, do you have any constructive criticism?
I just think you should hold yourself to a higher standard than just consistency. You want me to be more positive, Dale to work on a page?
That's the most important thing is consistency.
Yeah, but you have to, I think for a goal or revolution, whatever.
A revolution?
Ocean, yeah, we're going to try a revolution here.
What
in the
are
midday.
Our New Year's revolutions?
That's what you guys go, don't think big enough.
No, you're right. This is real small potatoes, to use Doug Williams'
these small
phrase.
Things, yeah.
Very small potatoes. All right, I'll
maybe something with your head. We could maybe small.
I am doing chin exercises now.
How's that working?
Not great. Still have multiple.
The gym? Chins. How's the gym going?
Gym's okay. I am going now a little bit.
Attaboy.
Not really seeing the instant results that I was hoping for.
Instant?
I thought as soon as you walk in there, the pounds would just shed right off of you.
Like the minute you take your warm up
and
you're the big mirror there, you go, wow, I look slimmer.
Hey,
already.
I look good. They have tall mirrors, maybe. That's all it is.
You just short, there, squat
hey,
mirrors.
Not too bad. You're like, it's just the mirrors in there and the lighting. It's very dark. But I'll figure it out. Not worried about it.
Texter says we need a Keith's Giant Head fan page. Go for that.
Just for the headshots.
Just work that in.
That's true.
So yesterday on the Patriots injury report.
It's actually, well.
No, go ahead. Read the whole name of the title.
If we want to say the real name of the thing, it is the Patriots practice participation and injury report.
So everybody's
right. Everybody's right. Call it whatever you want.
Participation trophy for everyone.
That's right.
So yesterday, both the quarterback and the tight end appeared on that again. They've sort of been off and on and back and forth. And we celebrated when Gronk suddenly disappeared from the injury report last week. And then the next day he was back on. Now, don't get me wrong. They're both going to play Sunday, in my opinion. But these
are
things that
Gronk's guaranteed to play any week.
Ever.
You know what I mean? I just don't. Yeah, Brady, sure. Brady, you can bet the house that he's going to play every single week. Gronk, I'm just not sure about, especially when they cite it's a double whammy with him. He's got on there with an ankle and a back injury. Tom Brady's dealing with the knee injury. And you kind of get the sense that throughout the rest of the season and the playoffs, these guys are going to be on there. Because if you are playing week to week, how do you really recover? Gronk took a bad hit last week. He was really slow to get up, and then I didn't think he was going to return, and he did. And Brady's been getting hit every single week. I think these guys are probably going to be on this list for a while.
They are, and I think they'll play. And you know, we had this discussion because Fourier, who you know played the game at the highest level, not like you, but at a higher, somewhat a little bit higher. And he said that it was his workout regimen.
Yeah.
Look, I've been saying all along, and I continue to say, he's hurt.
Yeah.
He's got physical limitations to what he can do.
But let me ask you this.
And I don't know what they are, by the way. I don't know if he just can't do this and he can't do that, so we've got to manage him. He's hurt, whatever degree that he's hurt, and he's trying to manage it and play through it, making me a little nervous about whether or not he's going to do this again next year.
I would think that he definitely would do it next year, but it won't be with the Patriots. I don't think he's back. I still don't see it, unless he's willing to take a pay cut, but that doesn't really strike me as the kind of guy, you know, who they're playing this weekend, Danny Amendola. You know, king of the pay cut. I don't think Rob Gronkowski would do that. My question would be, do you think he's been hurt all season?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Because that would explain it. Well, week one, maybe not, because week one he looked great.
No, but I just think, you know, you get all cranked up. It's the season opener. And, you know, I just think then you go out there and get battered around a little bit, because he's always going to get battered around.
Do you make anything of the two games, maybe his two best games? Although against Kansas City, he had pretty good numbers. But the two games in which he scored a touchdown in, the one thing they have in common is the weeks off. Obviously, week one is a ton of time off, whatever, you know, whatever. But then he doesn't play for about a month. He goes the Monday night game against Buffalo, where it's pretty disappointing. Then the games that he missed combined with the bye week, he doesn't play for almost an entire month. Then he goes out there against the Jets and has the touchdown. Like, that would sort of read injury stuff more so than how he's working out. Now, I'm not disagreeing with Fourier.
But I also think that what he can do from a workout perspective is also limited by the fact that, you know, he's got some injury issues.
Right, exactly.
In other words, and I'm just saying, if your shoulder's hurt, you're probably not going to be doing a bunch of lifting.
Right.
You know, and I don't know what's wrong with him. We know that they say back and ankle. We know that that's what they've said.
Well, so it's one of the, is a chicken or the egg. Was he not lifting because he's hurt, or is he hurt because he's not lifting? Or is he not as good because he's not lifting? Like, you don't really know what the whole timetable was of this whole thing. But, you know, it was a very strange offseason for him. Didn't go to the OTAs, contemplated retirement, said he would retire if he got traded away from New England. So as great of a player as he was, and maybe still is, it just feels like it's coming to an end. Like, it just feels like, I don't think Belichick wants to put up with another year of this. I don't see it.
Well, and you also, not that you didn't know this already, but if you needed further proof of it, having that bye week the first week would sure be big for this team.
That would be huge. And you would think,
too, your point about, you know, when he's performed well, it's been because he's had the extra rest beforehand.
Right.
Get him that bye week and get him that extra rest before he's got to play a playoff game.
And you could even give him a double bye week, you know. Week 17, they face the Jets at home. Can you maybe sit him out of that game?
Yep.
You know, depending on what happens with Miami, Pittsburgh,
that
Buffalo.
That game may not mean anything.
It may not. Or you also think, you can beat the Jets without Gronk. That's what I would say. I mean, you should be able to beat Buffalo.
Bill won't say it, but we can say it.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, these two games, if they win these two games, especially if you knock Pittsburgh, a win over Pittsburgh would almost knock them out, I think, of home field. But Houston's right there. The Chargers, even if the Chiefs drop, well, the Chargers are right there. So it's no lock that they aren't playing on Wild Card Weekend.
You know what I also wonder? We know that Brady and Gronk didn't do anything but mandatory offseason work. They missed the anything that was not mandatory, they weren't there.
You think that's
in Brady's case, yeah, we think that it was, you know, he was dedicating more time to his family. He was trying to make sure that he was there as a father and a husband. And we think that's the case. By Tom Brady's standards, he hasn't been quite as good as he's been in the past. Maybe in Gronk's case, he just couldn't. He's just thinking
the injuries.
This hurts, that hurts. I gotta avoid this. I gotta avoid everything I can avoid.
But so last year, you'd admit it was one of his more healthy seasons.
Yes, by his own admission, it was.
Yeah, and he had a concussion in the playoffs, but he recovered from that.
Yeah,
so he plays in the Super Bowl. So, but sometime between the Super Bowl and the start of the season, he hurt his ankle and his back.
No, I think that those have gone. I think that his issues, the back has been an issue forever. I mean that.
Oh
that,
yeah,
that so goes back to one. College. Right. So he's had these issues all along. I think it has affected what he could do in the offseason. I think that affected how he felt to start the season. Then the ankle thing happened as an addition to all of that stuff.
Yeah.
To Christian's point about, you know, he can't be doing TB12. He's got to be doing what the Patriots' workout regimen is because he needs that explosiveness as a tight end. What if physically he can't do either?
Well, then he's cooked.
You know, what if he just like, what if, can't what if do he's either just saying, one? You know what? Well, I can't do everything that they want me to do.
Then that's it. Then you're cooked, or at least the player that we know is cooked. Because again, this is similar to Brady in, all right, if you're the best at your position and you take a big step backwards, where do you rank? Like Gronk was so much better than every other tight end that if he is worse, okay, he's not the best tight end anymore, but is he still one of the 10 best? One of the 15 best?
Probably.
He might be. But does he want to play that way? And then when you get into next year, the Patriots aren't going to want a $12 million cap hit for the 10th best tight end in the league.
When we come back, we'll talk to Peter King. We'll get back to your calls as well at 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Should we just let the music play for a minute or so?
I don't mind listening to this for a while. This puts you in the right headspace, doesn't it?
It just prepares you.
It's a nice song.
This music, of course, is for Peter King.
Of course it is.
And our regular weekly visit with Peter, which, as always, is brought to you by Verizon Fios, Shaw's, and Star Market, and by Always Health Partners. Mm-hmm. We are connecting with Peter right now, and we will talk to him even as we speak. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Good morning, Dale. How's everything?
We're doing fine, thank you. I'm looking at the AFC standings, thinking that there's at least a possibility in my mind that the Kansas City Chiefs lose to Baltimore, that the Patriots beat the Dolphins, and for New England at least, all will be right with the world.
It's a weird conference. You know, it really is, because the way I sort of look at this, I mean, I think you need to really consider what is going on with the schedules down the stretch, especially, in my opinion, what's going to happen with the Los Angeles Chargers. So, you know, the Chargers have a crucial game a week from today at Kansas City. And Kansas City, all, you know, you would say, okay, well, maybe Kansas City can survive that because the Chargers got a couple of tough games. Well, Kansas City's got to go to Seattle. And I know that nobody wants to talk about the effect of the loss of Kareem Hunt, the football player. But Kareem Hunt, as I wrote my column the other day, the first 27 games of his career compare very favorably to Marshall Faulk. And they leave Thurman Thomas's first 27 games in the dust. This was the best all-around current, now that Le'Veon Bell isn't playing. But even if you include him, he and Le'Veon Bell are the best two all-around backs in the NFL. I think he's better than Todd Gurley as an all-around back. And so that's a gigantic loss for them as a team. So there's a lot of X factors going down the stretch, and I don't consider that, you know, that Kansas City has got it locked up, you know, and then what do you do about Houston? I mean, Houston's totally out of control. So it's going to be an interesting last month.
We haven't talked to you since the Kareem Hunt video was released and then since he's been released.
Mm-hmm.
it feels like we're right back in the same place 4 years ago with Ray Rice, and it was TMZ that released that video, and then it was the league having to react to that. It seems like we haven't really learned anything in 4 years.
Well, I think the league has determined that they're not going to pay for these videos. They're not going to get in the TMZ business. I mean, as ridiculous as it sounds, I think the league should rethink that, because the amount of guff that they take over this. You have to ask yourself, if you had real private eyes in the NFL and you could find these things, you know, would you want to? If I were the NFL, I would want to. I think there's two major mistakes that were made. Obviously, the league made, I think, a terrible mistake when they chose not to talk to Kareem Hunt. I can figure out why they didn't talk to Kareem Hunt, because they didn't have anything on him. And so if you don't have something on the guy, then all he's going to do is tell you the same thing as he told the Chiefs, which is, I don't know what they're talking about. I didn't do anything. But having said that, you then have Kareem Hunt lying to the NFL as well, so that then when the hammer comes down, if it does come down, it'll come down a lot harder, because now he's not only lied to his team, but he's lied to the league. But I also think there's one other entity that, should be shamed here, and that's the Cleveland Police Department. You've got a woman, a 19-year-old woman, who's sitting there crying, telling you that she just got hit and abused by a guy at 3:45 in the morning, and there are cameras all over this hotel/apartment building where Kareem Hunt lived. And so you don't even take a couple of hours to go to the hotel to say, we need to see this video. So if that had been done, Kareem Hunt never would have played this year. And it could have been adjudicated a lot faster than it is now. So Cleveland Police Department shouldn't be let off the hook either.
The word now is that the NFL is looking at three possible incidents, by the way, all in the same calendar year, involving Kareem Hunt.
Right.
Assuming that he's involved in all three, one we know he's involved with, we've seen the video. I've actually seen the video from the January incident as well, because TMZ's got that out there. Assuming he's involved in all three, is he going to play next year either?
I think he's, you know, Dale, I think he made a very big mistake in talking to Lisa Salters on TV, because clearly this is a man who was simply unhappy that he got caught, okay? And he now is crying crocodile tears, but he wouldn't be if he didn't get caught. This is a guy who late nights, maybe alcohol, maybe not, I don't know, but late nights in Kareem Hunt, three times in the span of 2 months, didn't mix very well. And he comes on TV and said, that's not me, that's not the person I was raised to be. It is you. You kicked a woman in anger. That is you. So get help, get it fixed. I wouldn't anticipate he plays before 2020 if he plays, and I think he will play. It's a different story than Ray Rice. Rice was much more advanced in his career, and Kareem Hunt is only 23 years old. My guess is that he will play again, but only if he has some come-to-Jesus moments where he admits that I've put myself in far too many bad situations. That's my fault. I can't be blaming other people on it. So until he does that, Dale, and I think he probably will, until he does that, he's not going to play football again. But I would agree with you. I don't think we'll see him till 2020.
Now, we still don't know what all the openings will be once the season ends. We know, you know, the Browns will be looking for a coach, the Packers will be looking for a coach, and a few others. Do you think Josh McDaniels is a head coach in the league next year?
If I had to make a gut feeling right now, just a gut feeling, I would say yes. But I mean, I think there are going to be some jobs out there, the Jets, the Bucks. Maybe the Bengals. If I were Josh McDaniels, I wouldn't have any interest in those. And I would be surprised if he would, because they have such a history of weirdness and or, you know, they don't have a winning tradition. But I think there are two pretty unique jobs. I mean, Cleveland is a unique job for him, and I don't think it has very much to do, if anything, about the family business being in Northeast Ohio, with his father being one of the best high school coaches ever in Northeast Ohio. I don't think that's it. I mean, I'm sure it's not going to hurt the situation. But just remember, I mean, we've talked about this before. You know, Josh McDaniels, on the day of the draft, I forget who reported it, Glazer or somebody reported it, might have been NFL Network, that he spent time on Monday before the draft with Baker Mayfield in Texas. And so, you know, clearly the Patriots had some significant interest in Baker Mayfield. And if he had slipped and everything, that's a guy who I'm guessing that the Patriots probably would have tried to go get as the eventual successor to Tom Brady. And then Green Bay, I first of all, hard to imagine how you'd turn down the chance to coach Aaron Rodgers if it was in Saskatoon. I mean, I wouldn't care where it is, but and then to be able to drive down Lombardi Avenue on the way to work every day and go into the stadium that Lambeau and Lombardi built, I don't know how you turn down that job. So I think those are two interesting jobs, but this is the one factor, Rich, that I think is important to realize about the Green Bay job. Like, I don't really know. I mean, 3 years ago, Aaron Rodgers told me categorically, I want to be coached. I want to be coached hard. So now there's a lot of people around the league who say, you know, Aaron Rodgers seemed disinterested this year and all that, which I don't buy, really. There have been some times where he's made some throwaways where I wonder, why in the world did you throw that away instead of looking somewhere else? But I also think that I would want to know, whoever is going to do the interviewing there, I got asked the other day by somebody, so do you think the Packers will want Rodgers to talk to the new coach? Hey, if I'm a coaching candidate, I want to talk to Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. And I want to say, this is the most important thing of all. I mean, I'm going to coach, if it's an offensive guy, I'm going to coach you hard. Are you up for that? And let's talk about that. Let's talk about my philosophy of coaching. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers is rolling his eyes in that interview, you're going to run away from that as fast as you can. Now, I don't think he's going to. But I think Aaron Rodgers, the whole thing got stale in Green Bay. He got disinterested. And he thought that they were not imaginative in Green Bay. And so I think whoever comes in to coach, there's going to be a process on both sides where both sides are going to want to know something significant about the other.
Josh McDaniels made a commitment to Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots in this past offseason. Didn't go to Indianapolis, got a new contract out of it and all of that. If the Cleveland Browns want to hire Josh McDaniels, can the Patriots just say, no, we've got him under contract, you can't talk to him? I know morally you would allow a guy to go.
Right.
Legally, could they hold him to the deal?
Dale, I don't know what the contract says exactly. I can't answer the question. I would think that Josh McDaniels would be able to leave New England for a head coaching job. But again, that's something I don't know. I would assume that when these stories start coming out, that the Patriots would say, hang on a minute, Josh McDaniels can't go anywhere, so kill these stories. But I think the fact that the stories are out there and they're going to be out there in increasing frequency, if it wasn't going to be allowed, the Patriots would probably make that point and pull them off the market. Now, you know, again, that's just my guess. But my guess is that I don't think they would stand in the way if he wanted to go somewhere and be a head coach.
Who's your MVP right now through 13 weeks?
It's Breeze, but he came back to the field a little bit last week. I would say it's Breeze, Mahomes, Phillip Rivers. They would probably be the top three, but I waffle back and forth on, do the Rams have a most valuable player? They got three guys who've had incredible years so far in Goff, Gurley, and Donald. I know that a lot of people are saying now, look at Donald. He's going to compete for the all-time sack record. You got to give it to him. It's not, the name of the award is not most outstanding player. The name is the most valuable player. And in my opinion, it'd be very hard to pick even a great player on a very good defense, good to very good. The Rams have had some moments where they haven't been all that great on defense. But it'd be hard for me to pick them, to pick that person over Breeze or Mahomes. There's still time to play. But right now, I would say Breeze, Mahomes, Rivers.
Final question before we let you go. The Washington Redskins took some grief, well-deserved in my opinion, for claiming Reuben Foster off waivers before I think they did any research at all. Today, Elisa Ennis, the ex-girlfriend who was the person who reported the assault, did an interview on Good Morning America, complete with photographs of the injuries that she suffered, that Reuben Foster's hand. I don't think Reuben Foster is going to play for the Redskins either, do you?
No. Because all along, the point has been Washington wanted a bargain. You know, they wanted Reuben Foster's rights in the event that she again recanted, her accusations this year, and the NFL cleared him, which was going to be very unlikely anyway. There was just too much smoke around him. But they wanted his rights going into the off season. He's a very cheap player in 2019. So, you know, that was what this was about. And I would now be surprised, especially if anything happens as far as legally in Tampa with Reuben Foster. If he's convicted of anything, he's in the same situation, in my opinion, without the video that Kareem Hunt is in, because he keeps claiming, I didn't do it, extenuating circumstances, blah, blah, blah. But now with her saying today, I was lying back then, I shouldn't have recanted my testimony, I thought he would change, and now saying it happened again, who's going to pick up Reuben Foster unless he goes into some significant, mental rehab? And also, he's going to, I believe, he will also have a significant suspension from the league. So I think both of those guys are looking at, very, very questionable whether they play in 2019 either.
How about her assertion that somebody from the 49ers tried to talk police out of even believing her, saying she was the same ex-girlfriend that had lied? 49ers try to protect this guy.
That really shocked me. That shocked me because that night I talked to John Lynch, and John Lynch was crestfallen about this whole thing, and that really does surprise me. And that's going to be a couple of phone calls of mine in the next day or two.
Peter, we always appreciate the time. You take care.
All the best, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
Peter King, Football Night in America, joining us. Yeah, this story that she gave to Good Morning America this morning, as bad as the Redskins look, all of a sudden the 49ers look just as bad.
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to salvage this guy. They're trying to get him off from these charges. Hey, she lied before. You don't have to believe her. These are members of the 49ers, the same organization that cut him 24 hours later.
Right, exactly. No, it's bad, and now it's very much back. And we thought that sort of Kareem Hunt would push Reuben Foster to the side, and now he's right back in the center of it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Because because all along the point has been Washington, basically Washington wanted a bargain. You know, they wanted Reuben Foster's rights in the event that she again recanted, you know, her accusations this year, and the NFL cleared him, which was going to be very unlikely anyway. There was just too much smoke around him. But they wanted his rights going into the offseason.
So that was Peter King, who joined us a few minutes ago. We were referring specifically to the interview on Good Morning America this morning. The young lady's name is Elisa, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Elisa Ennis. She is the person, the ex-girlfriend of Reuben Foster, who reported the abuse at his hand. And as I said, she produced photographs, which she showed to Good Morning America, showing a mark on her collarbone, another one on her cheek. She also, very honestly, at least I think this time, said that she had in fact lied about this in the past, but more to try to save their relationship.
Reuben threw my clothes out the balcony. He threw my stuff out the house. He dragged me down the stairs 2-3 times. He punched me in my face 2-3 times, pulled me by my hair, kicked me, spit on me.
And then you go to court, and then you recant your story.
Yes, ma'am.
And why'd you do that?
Because I loved him. And love will have you doing things that's not in your best interest because of the person you love.
She admitted that she recanted the story because she was trying to salvage the relationship.
I mean, that's not the first time you've heard that.
No, and you know, unfortunately, that's actually a fairly common occurrence.
Yeah, it is.
In cases of domestic abuse. If you watched the interview this morning, she seemed quite believable, in my opinion. Let's give you one more cut from Elisa Ennis on Good Morning America this morning.
I thought that he would change. Anybody in my position, they would have did the same thing if they, you know, shared a family with this person. He used to come crying to me, telling me he didn't have anybody. If somebody called the true love, come crying to you, telling you that they didn't have anybody, you'd do the same thing too. Like, that's why I did what I did, because I loved him.
Do you still love him?
I've been getting help and stuff like that. This is not love.
She said that, in fact, they were both seeing therapists at one point. And again, her attempt in vain to salvage the relationship. The whole situation about her being in Tampa was weird.
Because they weren't together anymore.
No. She was not his girlfriend when she went to see him in Tampa. The 49ers trying to stick up for Foster and trying to get him out of trouble. She doesn't name the person, but she said she's got photographs of the person from the 49ers who was trying to take care of this. It's just, the whole thing is weird.
Yeah.
Reuben Foster, my guess is the Redskins now drop him like a hot potato.
Because of this interview?
Well, just because there is more and more.
I think they had to have known what kind of
response they're
going to get.
Well, they've been killed since they did it. They lied about their own investigation. They never called the police in Tampa.
They seem like the NFL in a way.
Yeah, a lot like the NFL.
They fit in nicely because they had to have known what kind of backlash they were going to get. And then, although maybe they didn't, because then they send Doug Williams out there and he does the dumbest interview I think I've ever heard, maybe short of Kareem Hunt. You know, Doug Williams is talking about how it's small potatoes and how there are other people that have done worse things. And you're like, oh, my God, this isn't not exactly the best way to defend you claiming Reuben Foster. But the fact is, and I understand what she's saying today, and she does sound believable, but on the record, you know, through her lawyer, she did make a statement before saying that Foster did not strike her, did not injure her, did not threaten her. So that is out there. Now she's going back, and now she's saying that that's not true, and she was trying to save the relationship, which, again, is believable. We've definitely heard cases like this in the past. But
in February, the Santa Clara District Attorney's Office accused Reuben Foster of punching Ennis 8 to 10 times,
Jesus,
rupturing her eardrum, and throwing her out of the house they shared by her hair.
I mean, it's just disgusting. I mean, it's like the
Greg
Hardy one.
In May, they had a preliminary hearing in San Francisco. That's when she recanted everything, saying that what she told the judge at that point was she had lied about all this to ruin his career.
Yeah, why would you say that part?
She was trying to save him. She was throwing herself under the bus.
I guess.
she to said, try to save his career.
Yeah, she said that under oath, she said that she fabricated the story, quote, as a money scheme. So, I mean, there's a lot to this. And so if you're the Redskins, you apparently want to go through all this as him now being a Washington Redskins linebacker. Like, that's every time the story comes out there now, you're the team that is now attached to him. And they're, as Peter King said, they're just looking to get a deal. You know, here's a guy who was a first round pick just 2 years ago. He has 3 years left on his rookie deal after this season where he's not going to play. And they're hoping that
Peter doesn't think he'll play next year either. Well, he doesn't think either of these two guys will end up playing next year.
Yeah, they may not. I think Foster would have a better chance than Hunt. Because Hunt now, it seems like it's three different things. So if you get penalized for each one.
And I've seen video of two so far.
Right. So that,
and by the way, the video of him kicking this woman while she's on the floor
should be enough.
That's going to be the one.
That should be enough. But that may add up to a whole season gone. Reuben Foster, we'll see, who, by the way, started this year being suspended for weapons and drug charges. So, I don't know. But the Redskins are thinking they got themselves a deal, and now they have to handle this now for a while.
Now, I can tell you, even as we sit here, there are people out there defending Foster and taking her to task. And it's kind of the classic victim blaming. Yeah, but what about her fighting with another woman? And what about this? There's this reflexive action on the part of some to somehow, some way defend Reuben Foster, which frankly baffles me. I mean, unless you're part of the Foster family and you're trying to protect your uncle, your brother, your son, something like that. Why some people feel so instinctively driven to, but what about this?
No, I don't know. I mean, that's what's scary, is that if Reuben Foster or Kareem Hunt was on the Patriots, you can only imagine the calls that we would take and the people that would try to find a way to defend them and to try to say, well, you know, there's two sides to every story. You're like, well, no. Especially, you do have to take into account these guys being, what is Reuben Foster? He is, 6'1", 230. Professional athlete, you know, getting into a physical altercation with a woman like that. That's insane.
He was like, tossing the guys who were trying to hold him back around like they were nothing.
Right. So, I mean, it's just, but we'll see. I mean, right now the NFL isn't doing anything to the point where these guys aren't going to be in the league. You know, it's just a matter of when are they going to be able to come back.
617-779-7937. Bill is in Exeter. Hey, Bill.
Hey, I saw something on Bleacher Report about an anonymous AFC source that says Kareem Hunt will be back in the league because the NFL as a league can't help themselves. I think they have done nothing to put out this domestic violence thing. They just keep going back and keep bringing back these players because they're talented. They've shown no punishment.
I think he will be back. I definitely do.
See, I think it's going to be hard, and I know he's younger, and
that's the biggest thing.
But if let's, for the sake of our discussion here, say he misses, obviously he's going to miss the rest of this year, and let's say Peter's right and he misses next year. That's a long time to be away from the field and suddenly be able to slide back in and do what you do.
I mean, Josh Gordon did it. Now, Josh Gordon wasn't out of football because of that. I mean, that was self-inflicted, but Josh Gordon was older and missed seasons. And I think he's looked pretty good when he's been back. So,
assuming Hunt gets suspended for all of next year,
yeah,
the team that signs him says what to their fan base?
We're here to win at all costs.
They would never say that. That may be what they feel. They'll never say that.
Well, they shouldn't say
they'll
small
never
potatoes.
Say that. No,
they shouldn't say that.
How dumb was he?
No, the reason why he would get signed again is because winning is the most important thing. What you would say is, second chance or third chance, whatever,
fifth
chance or whatever. You would find a way, or he's remorseful, or he's this, he's that. That's what you'd have to do. And that's why I agree with Peter, too, when he said it was a mistake for Kareem Hunt to go on with Lisa Salters, because he didn't do himself any favors. And it's not like he's going to be in the league immediately. So why don't you take some more time away? Because then you can, even if you're lying, you can say you've thought about it and you've had time to reflect and all of that. This was immediate. And Peter's right. It was I can't believe I got caught.
That's
kind of
sounded,
response.
That's exactly what he sounded like.
And so if you
he was feeling sorry for himself.
But also, can't you wait? What if he waits 6 months, comes back, and not that I believe that he necessarily would change, but if you come back 6 months, you do the same interview with the same person.
On that video, that's not me. That's not the person I am.
It is you. And you could say, I had therapy, or I did this, and I feel like I am a different, I'm a changed person. You're not a changed person after this. You lied about it to the Chiefs before the season started. You've played this whole time.
See, that's probably what's
going to
hurt him the most. Not that he abused a woman,
yeah,
but that he lied to his employer about it. That's the thing that'll probably touch much of the other teams off.
But I think that also what Peter said is his first year and a half, 2 years in the league, he is most comparable to Marshall Faulk. So if you're going to tell me there's a 24, 25, but whenever the time he gets back in, there's a 25-year-old Marshall Faulk available, there's 32 teams. Somebody's taking him. I mean, he might be the worst guy in the world, but somebody's taking him. This is going to be a great case study because Ray Rice was coming off a terrible year, was getting closer to 30. That one was
not... his last year playing, he was 26.
Right, and then so he was suspended for the 27th season.
Yeah.
So by the time he may have come back 28, which still isn't that 30 number for a running back.
Right.
But the most recent thing we saw of Ray Rice was what, like 3 yards a carry or whatever it was. He was not very good. That was his worst year as a pro. And teams weren't, it wasn't really worth bringing him in, I don't think, at that point. And again, I'm not trying to compare.
Yeah, 3.1 yards per rush.
That is awful. That's
atrocious. His last year.
Yeah.
And he had gone, these are his career by year,
yeah,
yards per attempt. 4.2, 5.3, 4.0, 4.7, 4.4, 3.1.
Yeah, done. And he wasn't catching passes anymore. He was just a mess. So they weren't going to bring him in. But Kareem Hunt, this would be a great case study. What kind of moral high ground does the league have? I would say it's not that high because there's a video of Kareem Hunt, and I truly believe he'll be in the league again. And now, next year, it seems unlikely. It seems unlikely because of all the other things they're looking into. They're going to have to send a message.
See, the league's also embarrassed right now. They're embarrassed 100%. By the fact that TMZ put the video out there. They're embarrassed because now we know they never talked to him. They never talked to the victim.
Well, think
about, so now the league is going to overdo it because they're embarrassed by what the reaction has been to this.
Which is what they always do.
They overreact.
They always overreact once something comes out. Just like it even happened to Tom Brady. They overreacted because the league thought Spygate wasn't enough. So then they punished him for that, like retroactively punished him for that. Ray Rice, before the video came out, got 2 games. Then the video comes out. Next thing you know, the guy's getting popped for a season. This commissioner exempt list shows up. That's where Peterson goes to. That's where Greg Hardy goes to. That becomes a whole thing. And so they got embarrassed. So Kareem Hunt, they need to, because if they just made him available to everybody, he would be on a team. So the league needs to sort of protect themselves in a way and say, we're keeping this guy away from the field for a year is my guess. But to start the 2020 season, I bet he's a starting running back for somebody.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. The Red Sox filled a big hole. Well, not a hole, but one of their key offseason signings took place earlier today, apparently. We'll talk about that. We'll get into some other things as well. Some lineup changes for the Bruins tonight as Bruce Cassidy's decided, no, we'll move you in.
Well, desperate times, they all call for desperate
After
measures.
After what happened Tuesday night in Sunrise, you do whatever you got to do. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.